Hello, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Steel City Squadron podcast. We're going to have a slightly smaller crew than usual today. So I am Dan, he, him, call sign Dorquis, and I like bombs.
Hi, I'm Jack Gibbons, he, him, call sign Farfrey, and I suffer the effects of my own bombs.
So that's a good lead-in. Today we're going to be talking about bombs. There's a lot of bombs out there right now, and they're very, very prevalent for a couple of reasons we'll hit on a little later. But even if they weren't, it's worth having a conversation about exactly what use cases and value bombs can provide. So we're going to hit a couple of things about exactly how bombs work, the use cases in lists, and then some fun interactions and suggestions of what to do with them. Jack, hit us with some deets on weird, because you're the rule breaking guy. What did we say? Lawful chaotic?
Sure. Maybe chaotic neutral, but yeah. But yes, the way bombs work is, during the systems phase at your initiative, you place typically the one straight template behind your ship, put the token down of the indicated bomb, burn the charge off of the card as indicated, and you move on. And then at the end of activation, something happens.
All right. So drop in systems, end of activation, detonation of some kind, by default, right?
Detonation is the key word there.
Okay. We keep saying bombs, but there are all of these devices that you can put on your ship. Are they all bombs?
Nope. We've got all bombs are devices. Not all devices are bombs. Some devices are mines that I believe we will get into at some point today.
Yeah, we're going to hit on mines.
And there are other things such as spare parts, Discord missiles that are not bombs or... they are devices. They aren't bombs or mines.
Right, spare parts are not.
Right.
Sorry, spare parts and cargo are sort of... they act very much like bombs, so we wanted to at least ping them as we went by and say, hey, that's not what we're talking about today. Yep. Anyway, keep going. You were saying how CIS gets all the best toys.
I mean, you were saying that. I haven't flown all the best toys, apparently. But yeah, they Discords and Dark One probe droids do some of the most nasty things in the game. Especially Discords, I thoroughly dislike them.
Well, that's just because you fly Boba and Ketsu.
I mean, I fly two ships that can't barrel roll, so yeah, that's why. Yeah. But fine, I'll find you at range one, and then I can't place it in front of that ship.
Right. There's one more device worth mentioning. It's First Order sensor buoys.
Yeah, boy.
And there are a lot of remotes that we're starting to see show up. I haven't actually seen the new tracking torpedoes on the table yet. They came with, what is it? They came with the Kraken, right?
I haven't seen them on the table either.
Okay.
And I believe you in that they do, because that box is sitting over there.
Okay.
I definitely have the plastic off of it.
Okay. We're going to mention the recording date in a moment because it's relevant, but we just saw that we're going to be getting a lot of new remotes and little armored figures that run around the board doing cool stuff.
Looking forward to it.
Right. So all that said, we acknowledge that these devices exist. Again, we're going to watch them ping as we don't talk about them today. We're just going to talk about bombs and mines.
I mean, we've talked about them enough.
Sure.
So...
so what are bombs? What are bombs actually like? How do you use bombs?
I find the most effective bombs are the ones you don't put on the table. Because the longer that you have them, the more your opponent has to be concerned about being behind you.
Right. So bombs aren't so much about the damage as the potential for damage.
I mean, you're the one who taught me that trick, but yes.
Okay.
We played a lot of games against each other.
Yes, and a lot of them, because I'm me and because I like bombs, a lot of them have had bombs. Yeah. So it's the way I see it is bombs are about area control. And they're about area denial, and they're about punishing somebody for wanting to be in a place. Some of them do that better than others. And sometimes a player will say, I accept the idea that there's going to be a bomb here, and I'm going to go there anyway. And then you, at that point, whether or not you drop the bomb, if you dropped it, you're keeping them honest.
Yep.
And making them suffer the consequence of being there. And if you don't, they called your bluff. So it's that bluffing game, and how likely are you to drop the bomb? How expensive is that damage that they might suffer, or the effect they might suffer? Because some of these purely have control effects.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about mines? How do mines differ from bombs in their use?
So mines are placed the same way. However, they don't detonate until someone or something overlaps them.
So they stick around for longer. They give you that actual area control.
Sometimes they stick around for much shorter.
Right. Because if you drop a mine directly under somebody, they immediately suffer its effects.
Correct.
Unless you use delayed fuses, which we're going to get to at the end.
Yep. If you want to make sure that the damage goes through, that they aren't able to avoid it, you drop a prox mine under someone.
Right. Which is part of why Zuvio is so nasty, because you can poop those out the front. And you have two zones you have to worry about. But again, we're gonna touch on the rule breaking at the end, which is unusual for us.
I mean, usually we're just rule breaking from beginning to end, so.
So we could just do it up front and break our own. No.
No.
So we want to go through actually bomb by bomb. And I came up with this because, all right, as of recording, it is currently September 14th, 21. There are a lot of bombs in the meta because right now a bunch of bombs are really cheap, on top of which ship counts are fairly high, which means there are more ships to be affected by bombs, and therefore bombs are more valuable per point. So we are going to mention some points as we go through. I think it's worth saying, though, we're also going to try to mention whether we think that's too cheap, too expensive, or just about right. So I figure we go back and forth. We're going to go through each bomb as we hit it. We're going to try to
avoid it.
Hey, it's us. We're probably just going to run over them, right?
Yeah, most of these, it's fine. It'll be fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
We're going to hit how many, sort of what its effects do, any special rules that break what we were saying earlier with drop during systems detonated in the end of activation. So take us away. Start us with the bomblet.
So we start with our bomblet. It is a double slot device. You can burn one shield to put two charges back on it.
And how many charges does it start with? Two.
I definitely have that directly in front of me right now. It starts with two charges. And it is a range one bomb. When it detonates, you roll two attack dice. You suffer hit for every hit or crit rolled.
So there's no crits, right?
No crits. No, nothing happens if you roll a focus or a blank. So it's basically two dice, 50% on each of them, ish.
So statistically, you're taking about one damage per bomb.
Yeah.
Okay. And current points?
Currently, it's at 2 points, which, sure.
Right.
The cost on that is two device slots.
Right, because there are usually better things to put in the second device.
Like, I think that's the right points for that.
Yeah, I think we've almost not seen it, even at 2 points. I don't know that I've ever managed to actually regen the 2 charges on it when I have tried using it. The ships which carry it just burn down too fast.
Mm-hmm. I flew against the gentleman running it on Sunday who had it on a ship with no shields.
Right. I mean, it is worth noting you can use regular reload to reload those charges. You don't have to burn the shield, but talking about reloads, probably a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
All right.
Our next one looks like an ion bomb. So do you want to take us away on that one?
Sure. Ion bombs currently standing at 3 points. You do start with 2 charges. Drops and detonates totally regular. When it goes off, everybody at range one takes 3 ion tokens, and every remote at range one takes 1 damage. So like I said, remotes are going to be a little more prevalent moving forward. Ion bombs are 100% about control.
Yep.
3 ion tokens guarantees ionizing any ship up to large base, which is outside of Epic. That means any ship. And obviously ioning is good for predictability. If you know exactly where your opponent is going to be next turn, you
can what action they do.
And what action they do, or if it's a droid, don't do.
Makes Gurry have a very sad day.
Yeah, makes vultures have very sad days. Moving forward from islands, we're going to jump over to Seismics. Take us away.
Seismics at 3 points. Start with 2 charges. Range.
I'm sorry, 3 points for ion bombs. Yay. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, seems about right to me.
Seismics, range one, remove an obstacle. All ships at range one of obstacle take a hit. That's it. Deploys and detonates standard, other than the fact that the bomb itself is not, the range one of the bomb does not do damage to anything. It's range one of the obstacle. It's the best sound effect in Star Wars.
I can attack of the clones. I see that GIF go off and I hear it.
Yeah.
It's lovely. I think it is worth noting that because of that extended range, I think the Seismic actually has the best area control of any bomb up to and including electroprotons.
I agree 100%.
Because theoretically you could have it at exactly range one of 2 different obstacles and then range one of both of those are actually up to 3 theoretically.
Yeah.
And that bubble is most of the board.
Yeah. I flew against a lady who dropped one of those in the middle of the board on turn one and I couldn't go there.
Yep. And especially if you pair that with somebody like Nim, who can just hold that bomb, that's a huge area where, again, it's not you can't go there. It's you're going to suffer a damage if you do.
Yeah.
There is one extra, we wanted to talk about one extra combo.
Yeah.
You like this one. Go ahead.
I like this one. Is the both the rigged cargo chute and spare parts canister tokens also tick off of the seismic charges bomb. So, hey, you drop that seismic in the middle of nowhere. That's not going to hit anything. I don't have to worry about that. And then your action is dropping the rigged cargo chute or the spare parts canister. Yeah, I'll take the damage, but if I'm catching someone like Soontir, worth it.
Or if you're catching somebody and like turning off a stealth device,
absolutely worth it.
Especially on, as you said, Soontir or maybe somebody like Etta Anakin.
Yep.
Really any Etta Jedi.
Any of the high agility, low hit point ships
right.
do not like that surprise.
And especially if you can catch somebody with the spare parts or the debris, cause them the stress, and then also blow it up and do damage to them.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Happy day.
Yeah.
So next comes what I think was the most prevalent one at our most recent tournament.
I mean, not just there. It's everywhere. And there's a reason. They are too cheap. I want to say 3 points for seismics, I think, is exactly right. We're not seeing them everywhere, but they're in the right case. That's right points.
Yeah. I wouldn't be offended if they went up a point, but I also wouldn't be upset if they went down a point.
I would be upset if they went down a point. I think it's too cheap.
I don't think that there is... Yeah, I think 3 points is probably right, but if it goes down, we get to play the GIF more.
Sure. I mean, I might at that point have to download a soundboard for my phone with that on it.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Don't you have that whenever you run seismics?
No, I don't, but now I need to. All right, so thermals. These things have basically broken the game. They're currently 3 points. They start with 4 charges. When you drop them, we need to go over this a little bit. When you drop them, you may drop 2 of them using the 1 and the 2 straight template. They detonate normally. If you combine that ability, so it's very important that you can drop 2 of them, you cannot use the same template for both. That's the exact wording. So you're allowed to drop it 1 or 2 straight. It's a replacement effect. So if you have other abilities that allow you to change the template you use, it changes it for every drop of the bomb. So if you have Emon, if you have Nimble Bomber, if you have the TIE Bomber ability, if you have Sol Sixa, Skilled Bombardier, you can do that as long as you use a different template. So you're not using the 1 bank left for both bomb drops. You can do 1 bank left, 1 bank right, 1 bank left, 2 straight. Very flexible. So if you're looking at area denial, which is what we're talking about for bombs, the more different places you can put bombs, the better for area denial. The other thing that makes these things broken for 3 points is that when you recover 2 charges per reload, only on the reload action. So you can get them back through, say, Cutthroat, but you don't get 2 back. But if you reload, it's one of the only use cases for reload currently in the game. That actually pays off, but you get 2 charges back. Their actual effect when they go off at range 1, you roll 1 attack die, you take a hit for a hit, a crit for a crit, and a strain for every eyeball result.
Which means they are more effective than bomblets.
Yes, they are. For less cost, because they have, although they have 1 more point, they lose the opportunity cost of the second bomb slot.
And more charges.
And more charges. And more places you can put them.
And more you can put out on a round.
Well, you have to put out 2 on a round to equal the effect of the bomblet generator. Because that rolls 2 dice. Each of these only rolls 1. But I mean, again, so we had a local tournament last Sunday. And I was flying thermals on fire sprays. And I killed Vader in a defender with thermal detonators. For the kill shot, I had done some other damage to him too. So they are everywhere right now. They are way too cheap. I think Agreed. They're going to stabilize at 4 points. I think right now they need to go up to 6, and then they'll work their way back down. I wouldn't be upset to see them at 5. I might even still fly them at 5. They're so good and they're so flexible. There are a couple of really specific, not just the different drop interactions. There are a lot of weird rules with these things. There are 2 very important interactions that we've actually seen in virtual events, Dooku and Death Rain. Do you want to hit both of those?
I was not aware. I mean, I know Dooku can guarantee, if his force is full, he can guarantee what the result is.
Well, and that's especially valuable with only 1 die being rolled.
Right.
So that was what I meant by the Dooku interaction. Yeah.
And Death Rain, I actually... Yeah. So every time Death Rain drops a bomb, they get an action, which means if they drop two seismic or two thermals, excuse me, they get three actions a turn.
Yeah. Which, and if you happen to use one of those actions for reload, you can do that every single turn.
Yeah. Seems good.
Yep. It also works with Cad Bane in Scum, Cad Bane crew, because you can drop one, boost off of it, drop the second. Gives you even more space. Anyway, that's a long... Thermals were sort of the thing that inspired us to talk today, so that was a little longer. Take us with concussions, Jack.
Concussion bombs are, I think, my favorite of them. They're 4 points, three charges. You must drop if your charges are not full. So if you drop one, you better be ready for the other two. Range one, they deal a damage card under shield. And if you have the choice to either take a strain or flip that damage card face up.
So this I will be honest, I have never seen somebody flip that damage card face up. And I can imagine like this tiny little niche case where you might, and otherwise, no, you just take a strain.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's agreed. But they do feel like the old school proton bombs where you're just doing damage under the shields. And I love the idea of we're starting a bombing run. Thematically, mm-hmm. It is neat. And it does result in some broken shenanigans.
What do you mean?
I mean, there are ships out there that like having damage cards on them. And that was supposed to be, hey, you've taken damage, you've lost your shields, you're in bad shape. Instead, it's resulting in people saying, well, I'm just going to throw this one damage card on my own ship. And now these things are active, like the Angry Wookiee.
And Saw Gerrera.
And Saw Gerrera. We saw that used to great effect on Sunday.
Yep.
It works. It makes sense. But like it works within the letter of the law, which is.
So you're saying it's technically correct.
I'm saying it is the best kind of correct.
There is an interesting interaction because it is a face down damage card. If you manage to hit that ship with a concussion missile, you do flip that damage card face up.
Yeah. Or any of the other abilities that flip cards face up.
Sure. Deadeye Shot. Thinking
Rixler.
Thane.
Yep. Thane would love to see that.
Yeah.
I believe Rexler has a similar effect.
I think so.
Or I'm thinking of, no, Merrick does three. Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah. But yes, I love the thematic, I'm going to drop three bombs in a row here feel of it. So basically, your first turn, if you drop the bomb, you can your second turn or that turn reload. Get that charge back and not continue your bombing run.
Yeah.
Or you can just drop bombs everywhere.
There's a really interesting interaction. If you happen to have reload and two bomb slots, and you take thermals and concussions and you drop everything, you can technically reload thermals, get all four back, and then spend the three turns as you reload concussions, dropping one thermal at a time. Because you have to satisfy the condition of drop a bomb, but if you yep. drop another bomb, you can't drop two devices in the same turn. So again, lots of weird interactions with thermals and concussions. 4 points, worth it?
Oh yeah.
Too cheap?
I think there are some cases where it benefits I'm not a fan of the times where you're bombing yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, there you're getting way more benefit out of it than 4 points.
Yeah.
But
we're not really seeing concussions anywhere else right now.
That's because thermals are a point cheaper.
Fair.
Like, it's not a guaranteed damage, but it's more bombs.
Right. Moving on.
Yeah.
Protons. Currently, these were one of the starting bombs, so they're a little more straightforward. Currently standing at 5 points, 2 charges to start. Deploy regularly, detonate regularly. When they detonate, every ship at range 1, or 0 to 1 really, is dealt 1 crit. If you've got shields, you just lose a shield.
Yep.
The use case here is you're being rude to aces. Mm-hmm. Just like we were saying with the seismic combo, if you can hit a low agility, high initiative ship with this bomb, well, A, they deserve to be hit. But that's what they're there for. They're there to do, like, crits are really punishing in second edition X-Wing, and this starts the crit chain rolling.
I would also say that this is very nasty against unshielded swarms.
Oh yes. If you can hit, say, a striker swarm with this, they're having a bad day.
Yeah. Droids don't particularly care for that.
No. All right. Take us away on the last bomb in the list.
The last one is also the most text we have on the notes.
There's a reason for that.
It's also the one I've seen on the table the least number of times.
I have deployed it twice. Neither time did it do me any good.
The electroproton bomb. It is 11 points. You get exactly 1 charge. It requires both the mod slot and the reload action in addition to your device slot. You cannot reload this device. You deploy it with a fuse token. We'll get into fuses later. When it detonates, every ship within range 2 rolls 4 dice. Hits and eyes do ion. So if you roll a hit or a focus, you take an ion token. Crits give you a disarm token. And blanks remove shields. And remotes take some damage. So you've got, you're rolling 4 dice. And everything does something. And unless you don't have shields, it does not do any direct damage to hull. But that's for the next turn. It's a huge area of effect. However, I do agree it's a smaller area of effect than a properly placed seismic.
And I think it's worth noting that fuse token is really key, because it's normally with fuses you have a choice to apply it or not. You must with the electroproton, so it takes 2 turns before it goes off, which is 2 turns for people to clear the area.
Well, yeah.
So when I said earlier, like, I've deployed them a couple of times and I've never gotten it to be effective, that's something to do with how few times I've used it. But it's also because it's just, if you look at the range 2 bubble, range 2 is the same as a 5-speed maneuver. So unless there's something else trapping those ships in that range, then almost any ship in the game can get out of that in 2 turns.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those, here's an area you don't want to be next turn.
Right. So if you can use that to herd the enemy, which is sort of the other half of bombs, like, sure, just deny that huge area and then go fight somewhere else.
Go fight where you want to fight.
Right. So that's it for bombs. We have 3 mines we want to cover.
I would suggest we do these not in the order we have them, but the opposite order.
I think that's an excellent idea, which is not alphabetical in any way. I think these are just the way they popped into my head.
Yeah.
Core difference in how mines versus bombs work. We mentioned they stay on the table. The other key point is that none of these mines can be recovered. There is currently no way in the game to get back the charges on a mine. All three of them say this card's charge cannot be recovered. So until we get a card that overrules that, what you have is what you have. So I'll start us off. We have Connernets. It's important to note, again, one charge. I don't have points right now, but I believe those are 3 points at the moment.
Half a second. Connernets are...
We're prepared.
Connernets are 3 points, come with one charge.
Right. So one charge. When they detonate, all ships at range... No, the ship that detonated them, I believe.
Correct. These will all be the ship that ran them over.
Right. Takes one damage and three ion tokens. So just like ion bombs, they're guaranteed to ionize anything not in an epic match. The key with Connors is that the template's long and narrow. Most of the mines are either wide or large. So that long and narrow is... especially good if you can use a bendy template to drop it. So either Sol Sixa or TIE Bombers, because that gives you just a lot wider of an arc to cover. There's not a lot of use for them. We don't see them very often. 3 points is probably right. They're sort of control. I was sort of hoping at 3 points they might see more use. I don't think they can afford to go to two. The not being able to recover the charge really hurts.
Right.
So use them on somebody cheap, like a quad jumper. Take us away with the next one.
Our next one up is our cluster mines. Comes with one charge. Again, you can't recover it. And it comes in as the most expensive of our mines at 7 points. It's got a larger three-part template that each of the parts of the template can trigger independently, or if someone happens to run over all three of them, well, happy day.
Yeah, that's rough. I killed a TIE bomber with that once.
So for each template, each part of the template that you run over, each section, you roll two dice and you take the hits and crits as they're rolled. So seems good. Again, at 7 points, I don't think I've seen this recently.
No, I think it suffers from the same problem as Connernets, only one charge and not recoverable.
Yeah. It does have a fairly large area of effect, but it is wide where the Connernet is long and narrow.
Right.
It is good for jamming up a jousting lane.
Sure. Also, very, very quick note, and we'll get to this in a moment. The key difference between bombs and mines are that a couple of upgrades that we're going to hit on in the way things drop differently is that most of them do not work for mines.
Yeah.
So you'll see what we mean in a second. Wrapping us up on the mines. Yep. Prox mines are the mine of the day. You have two charges to start. Again, you can't recover it, and they're currently standing at 6 points, which I think is about right. We're seeing them where they should be seen. So the key here is that it's a single template. It's a larger round template. It's about the width of a large base, maybe a little bit smaller. I haven't actually measured that one. I'm curious.
It's now. A smidge smaller. Off the top of my head.
So it's a fair amount of space. When it detonates, you take one automatic damage and you roll two dice and you take any hits or crits. Guaranteed damage is always good. If you can combine it with those flexible drops from the pilots we've already mentioned, especially good for area control. And again, as Jack was saying about the cluster mines, really good to choke up. Like if you've got a tight asteroid field, just block one of those lanes entirely. So,
hey, you can't come through this area ever.
Yeah.
Or if you do, you will pay. I will make you pay.
Yeah, there are very few ships that can shrug off a Proxmine without being real concerned about it. Anyway, so that's all the bombs, all the mines in the game right now. I know that was sort of a lot of bing, 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 bing detail, but we want to talk about things that modify the way bombs work. So these are specific, and we've touched on some of these as we talked about the bombs themselves, but they all require some amount of conversation as well. So first up, we have Tragedy Simulator, or I think it's actually Trajectory Simulator. This is a replacement effect, which allows you, instead of dropping a bomb, not a bomb or a mine, just a bomb, to drop that bomb at a 5 straight in front of you instead of 1 straight behind you. Sensor slot, it is currently standing at 6 points, which is probably about right. It shows up where it should show up and nowhere else.
Yep. And that was how the lady dropped the seismic charge on round 1 into the middle of the field.
Right. Why don't you hit the next 3 in combination? Because they all sort of work together.
So next 3, we have... okay. So we have the TIE Bomber ship ability, which is a nimble bomber, which allows you to, instead of dropping the bomb with the 1 straight, it gives you the 1 banks to either side.
And worth noting, that is any device.
Right. Right. I believe all 3 of these are going to be any device.
I am not pulling them up to double check my notes right now.
So the other 2 here are Scum Pilots, Sol Sixa, and one of my favorite pilots, Iman Azamine.
Answer is yes on both. It is all devices.
Okay. Both of which have the ability to use different templates to deploy their devices. So Iman has, in addition to the 1 straight, the 3 straight and the 3 hards, where Sol Sixa has any template at range 1. So Sol Sixa can drop it with a 1 bank, a 1 hard. Iman is really just going out there doing that 3 hard and then 3 harding a bomb off of that, or a mine off of that, which covers a huge amount of space. Right. It's pretty good. The other scum pilot I don't see on our notes that affects how bombs work, we'll talk about in a minute.
Right, because NIM and delayed fuses really work together.
Oh, yeah.
NIM, obviously, if you played 1.0, you'll remember he was a little dominant for a while. In second edition, he hasn't seen much play. I'm actually shocked we haven't seen more of him with how prevalent bombs are right now. I think it's mostly because other scum shit is too cheap.
Yes, other scum ships are too cheap.
That's not the word I use, but sure. Because it's not the ships that are too cheap.
No.
So delayed fuses, mod slot, currently 1 point, probably about right, lets you put a fuse token on a bomb and basically says, if that bomb would detonate, instead the fuse goes away, and the next time the bomb would detonate, or mine. It goes on any device.
Right.
So you can drop a prox mine with a fuse token on it, run over it with your own ship, and the fuse token is removed. And the next time somebody runs over it, it goes off. Big boom. NIM has a recurring charge once per turn. He can prevent one friendly bomb from detonating. So again, anything, because if bombs are all about area control, anything that allows you to affect the timing of that control increases your ability to control the timing of the space, which is sort of a very long and complicated way of saying multipliers are good.
The other 2 we have, Skilled Bombardier, lets you chuck the bomb out with a 2 instead of a 1. Or does it increase?
It allows you to increase or decrease the speed of the template you use by 1. So skilled bombardier on Iman would allow you to use a 2 hard. Skilled bombardier on Sol allows you to use any 2 or any 1. Skilled bombardier on TIE bombers is very good because it lets you use 1 or 2 banks.
Correct.
I think skilled bombardier is currently only like 2 points.
It is.
Which is good for what it does because it has such a limited use.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't go up. It's cheap and it should be cheap.
And the other pilot that drops bombs weird, we've mentioned once already, is Constable Zuvio, or right. Constable Zuko, as we've lovingly call him, who allows you to drop your bomb or device forward. Why would you drop your device, your mine ahead of you?
Fuse tokens.
Delayed fuse, yes.
Or, you know, either the fact that quad jumpers move backwards.
Yeah, or there's a ship in front of you.
Sure.
Yeah,
Zuvio with prox mines is a beautiful sight. And by beautiful sight, I mean rude.
Yes.
If you all remember to our last episode with, you know, the rudest Zuko. That wraps us up. I hope you stuck with us. We do have a couple of conclusions. Basically coming back to our original statement, which is bombs are all about control. I think Jack made a really, really good point that even if you hold on to that bomb, if you threaten somebody with it, if you force them to fly to evade it, that might be as good as it actually doing damage to them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, and I think both of us have tried making lists built around bombs and it doesn't work.
No.
Even TIE bomber swarms, if they don't have anything but bombs, suffer really hard because they don't. Bombs are a good additional tactic. They're a great add-on toolkit is sort of a word I use a lot.
Bombs are a sometimes food.
Bombs are an always. I like bombs on everything. They're just
every turn.
No, bombs are the spice, but they're not the meat.
Right.
So you can have spice on everything. You can have spice in every list, but you can't build a list around bombs and have it be effective because you can't ever count on doing the damage from that.
Right. And if you are using a device to make someone go to a place, which is really the effective use of bombs, you need to have a way to capitalize them on them being in that place.
Right. And if all you have is bombs, you don't have that way. Even there is a beautiful TIE bomber list that can drop 10 concussion or 10 thermal detonators in a turn.
Oof.
And it's beautiful. Oof. But you can't because, well, yes, but even if you take assuming half, like a thermal debt's 50% do damage, yeah. Right? You're doing 5 damage that turn. Think about how much damage you do from an APT.
Yep.
So
same. Same and a lot cheaper.
And a lot easier to guarantee because you have control over when it hits or when it doesn't. Or not control over when it hits, but when you launch it. Like,
and if you're dropping 5 thermal detonators in a range 1 bubble, if you're dropping a bunch of thermal detonators in a range 1 bubble, how?
Oh, skilled bombardier and nimble bomber.
Yeah, but okay, fine, but still, flying specifically to do this thing rather than flying to get your opponent.
You're not wrong, and it's a win more scenario.
Yeah,
this is. I don't remember if I was using this when we were recording before, but I've taken to using this phrase a lot, which is win more to me means I was going to win that game anyway. It doesn't matter. If I did the thing, like if I'm able to drop 10 thermal detonators on a range 1 bubble, I was going to win that game anyway.
Yeah.
Because it means that, you know,
I'm not saying it's not doable.
Right. The other player let me do that.
I'm saying if they were there, that's their own darn fault.
Well, yes. I mean, again, unless you used an ion bomb to line them up for it. But again, win more. If I can, yeah, if I can land an ion bomb and then 10 thermal detonators on somebody, I was going to win that game anyway.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to do it because of the bombs. So they're the spice. They're not the meat.
Right. Agreed.
Cool. We are very much energized. We had a great tournament this weekend. Actually, I've said it publicly. I said it at the tournament, but Jack organized most of this. I want to thank him again. It was a great event. We had about 22, 23 people show up at the end.
22 total players. Nice. I want to congratulate Nick. He flew fantastically all day.
You were awesome, Nick.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick's going to hear this because he does our editing.
And he did win the coveted Mr. Nice Guy's cookie cake, yes, among other things. But yes, it was a blast. I was so happy to see so many people turn out for it. And I am looking forward to it. It was awesome to see
so many new faces too.
Absolutely.
I want to say at least a quarter of those people, it was their first organized event.
There were several players here. That was their first time putting ships on tables.
Right. So, very, welcome. Very fun. Yes, welcome.
I can't promise I'll all be as good with prizes, but I'll do what I can.
Yeah. All right, that's going to wrap us for the day. Thanks for listening. If you stuck around this long, keep an ear out. I know that there are a couple more events coming down the pipeline, and we're going to be back. We're aiming for every couple of weeks now.
That's the goal. Back.
Once again, I'm Dan.
I'm Jack. Norquist. And I am Jack, known as Farfrae.
Thanks for listening.